Do you remember your first day of kindergarten? I actually started in first grade. I didn't go to kindergarten.
Remember your first day of kindergarten.
I remember my first day of school.
Yeah, and?
My first day of school, I had to print out the alphabet. So I printed the alphabet out, and then I had the one piece of paper, and the alphabet was printed, so I've already done that. So I erased it, and then I started using it for something else. And the teacher said, "Where's your alphabet?" And I wound up having to stay in my first recess.
And what lesson did that teach you?
That taught me to turn in the assignment. Oh, my goodness. I thought, oh, this is not getting off to a good start. Oh, man. Talking today with Beth Grau, who is a senior Sorensen professor of curriculum and instruction in the School of Education at UW-Madison. She's also the Associate Director of Faculty, Staff, and Grad Student Development at the Wisconsin Center for Educational Research. Great to have her along today to talk about getting your children ready and yourself ready for kindergarten. Or maybe you're a grandparent. Maybe you want to help out. Or should you help out? Do you remember way back to your own kindergarten days? What was that like? Maybe you're about to send a child to kindergarten. Any experiences to share? Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We would love to hear from you. And Beth Grau, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's a long time between visits. 20 years or so, but it's great to have you back. And what do we mean? We talk about getting kids ready for kindergarten. Well, our daughter's going into fifth grade, so we were at a couple of the local stores buying, the school supplies.
Sure.
And I saw lots of other parents there doing the same thing. Some of them with kindergarten age kids.
Sure.
But that's part of it, I guess, but that's not all what you're getting at when you talk about getting ready.
Right. No, it's nice to have everything in the backpack that the schools have asked for, but probably the more important thing is making sure you've got a child that feels good about going to kindergarten. And when I say kindergarten, I mean both 4K and 5K, because increasingly kids are going to 4K, which provides a different kind of start.
Yeah, absolutely it does. What are some of the things that our children are often anxious about when they're starting that pre-K or that K,
sure,
that kindergarten?
Will they have a friend?
No.
So depending on whether they've been at home this whole time or whether they've been in preschool before, there's always this fear that they won't have anybody to eat with, play with. They want to know what the teacher will be like. If they're riding the bus to school, what's that going to be like?
Yeah.
What do they do if they have to go to the bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
How do you handle it if you have a question? Just a lot of if you can think of putting yourself in your child's
in their
place.
Shoes. Sure.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, how do they express their anxiety typically? Is it verbal or nonverbal? I mean,
it depends on the kid. Some children will ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Other kids will become absolutely silent and really surly. And so you have to ferret out what's going on with them. So in a way, you have to use your best detective skills with your particular child to see what kind of questions they have.
Yeah.
Without planting worries in their head.
Yeah, that could happen. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Pretty sure of that. Well, if you're, a parent or grandparent or some other caregiver, what are some really good messages we can give kids about starting school?
That it's a really exciting point in their lives, that everything that they've done so far in their lives have gotten them ready for that, that you're never going to drop them off at school and never come back. That there are lots of chances for them to be successful. So just making sure that you're supporting them and helping them realize that the world isn't going to change so drastically that they can't make it.
Yeah. Are there, what should we avoid saying?
Well, probably avoid implanting your worries in the child.
Yeah.
And saying things like, when you get to kindergarten, you shouldn't, don't do that. Yeah. Or your teacher's going to get really angry with you if she sees you doing that at kindergarten. I would suggest being as positive as possible and try to talk the child through positive behaviors rather than negative behaviors.
Yeah.
I think also not, I think just not worrying in front of them. It might be the best thing to do.
Yeah, or it's sort of talking with the spouse or somebody else about all the issues and just
with them in the background.
With them in the background as their little ears are picking up everything you're saying.
Right, exactly. Now, I also think that it's important to help them recognize that you're excited about this.
Yeah.
And that it's a change for you too. So it's not like it's a forbidden subject.
Yeah.
But just be careful about the way it's presented so that it's not presented in a negative way.
Yeah. Beth Grau, our guest today, as we talk with her about getting your children ready for kindergarten or pre-kindergarten, join in at 1-800-642-1234. Maybe you've got a question or an experience to share. Love to hear from you. Jim in Camp Douglas, thanks for calling. Hi.
Good morning. Yeah, I've got a classic here, one that I like to tell the people because I remember it so well. My first day of school, I lived a block away, and my dad was kind enough to let me get in the car with him, and he drove me to school. Again, I lived a block away. We got there. He opened the door. All I got, I looked at the school. I was so frightened that by the time my dad went around the block, parked the car, and came in the house, I was sitting back at the kitchen table.
Ah.
So, I was petrified.
Oh.
You know, why he didn't take me in, I don't remember or don't understand, but that's one thing that has stuck with me through all the years, and that's my story for my first day of school.
Oh, man.
Did you go back?
Yeah, I did go back, did very well for about the first 4 years.
So. All in kindergarten?
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a good time. I had a lot of stories, with the nap time, the rug, all that
yep.
stuff. I'll never forget it. I was just so intimidated by the size of the school. And, again, it was a small school, but it was just
looked big
a little bit overwhelming.
You.
And, like you say, if kids are prepared to go to school, I think that makes the transition a lot easier.
Yeah.
Had you been to the building at all before?
Yes, I went back. In fact, after I joined the military, I came home on leave. I went back and saw some of my teachers who, of course, now are gone. But, it was, it was a good thing for me to do that, too. And I go into that town sometimes. I'll drive around that school, and I just almost get lost in just remembering all the things that happened while I was a kid going to school there.
That's a great story, Jim. Appreciate it very much. I went to a one-room schoolhouse for a couple years.
Oh, wow.
For a couple years out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And still have driven by that school. It's no longer a school.
Yeah.
But lots of great memories.
Right.
Lots of great memories.
Yeah, I think there are several people that have actually done academic work gathering people's stories about starting school for the first time, and they're just so sweet and powerful.
Yeah. Jerry Apps is a great book on rural, the one-room schoolhouses and the rural schools, which it's just a great book. You were getting at something else, though, I think that he may have missed on, which was probably a good idea if you can, to have your kindergarten child see the school before the first day.
Yeah, I think seeing the school, it's often the case that you can't get in very much ahead of time in terms of going into the school, but doing things like walking the route with your child, driving the route with your child, walking them around the outside, just so it becomes a familiar place and isn't so scary.
Yeah. Yeah, where our daughter goes, she's in fifth grade now, but there was a meeting, kind of a nice meeting of all the parents and the kids the night, few nights before, and there was a nice video of or movie of what goes on and so forth. All the teachers got up and spoke just very briefly.
No, I think a lot of schools do that, and I think it's a great bridge from home to school.
Yeah, and then they got to go to the classrooms and put their various things, colors and all whatnot, in their desk.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really quite a nice evening.
That's great. Honest.
Annie in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to make a comment. My kids are all grown up. They're adults with children of their own. But one of the things that I always did, even though I felt sad when my kids went to school, I always said, you know, I can't wait till you come home today and tell me what you've learned. And then turn it into them showing me and doing it with them. And they really felt empowered to teach their mother something.
Oh.
That's a great idea. I think that's one of the recommendations I would always give people is that don't just say, what did you do at school today? After the kids come home, because they'll say nothing.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, I played. So setting them up ahead of time is a fabulous idea.
Even things like learning to stand in a line according to their height.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing for a little kid.
Yep.
And they comment. And then if they've had an art class or something where they had to cut out something and they showed me what they did and I did it with them when they came home and they were excited. And I think if you make education exciting for them and you're open to hearing what they're learning, I think you got a foot in the door.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Annie.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the call. We're talking about getting your youngster off to school for the first time, for kindergarten or pre-kindergarten, getting them ready and getting yourself ready as well, because that can be very emotional. So it is a very emotional experience for the parents. Was for me and my wife, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I know it was. Probably was for you, too. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at the Larry Mueller Show. Are you about to send a child off to kindergarten? What do you need to know for both of you to have a good experience? That's what we're talking about right now. And maybe you can remember back to when your first day. What was that like? Again, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about getting that youngster off to kindergarten with our guest today, Beth Grau, who is a Sorensen Professor of Curriculum and Instruction in the School of Education at UW-Madison. Great to have her along. Thanks for listening in. Experiences, questions, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. I'd love to hear from you. And what was your first experience like, by the way, Beth?
I remember it really well. It was my first time away from home, really.
Oh.
I'm the oldest of six kids, close together. So it was the first time that I actually had kind of to be in my own orbit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a half-day program. I remember walking, which now seems like a considerable distance, which is like the inverse of what most people say. Most people think it's shorter or smaller. But I walked actually across a very, very busy street with a group of neighbors with a bag of materials. And it was a really, really exciting time. The thing that's a little bit different is I remember very clearly when I went to first grade, absolutely certain that I didn't need to go to school half day, that half day was long enough. So for about the first month, I kept trying to leave at lunch in first grade.
Oh, man. Well, Kevin in Fort Atkinson has something to contribute. Hi, Kevin.
Yes. It's been about 55 years ago now. But my first day, I'm the 10th of 12 children, so I consider myself fairly socialized.
Yeah.
And new to experience. But when I walked into this big kindergarten room and seeing all the toys and all the building blocks and stuff, you know, I think I just ran away from my mother and into the room. While my good friend Dave Fisher, he decided that he was going to have none of it, and he ran for the door and was blocked by sweet Mrs. Barnes. And so the contrast between, I remember to this day thinking, what, is he nuts?
He must have had a better deal at home.
Well, that's just it. Things might have been a little thin in our household as far as toys surviving. But so it was just a wonderful experience for me. And to this day, we had a big atrium kind of. So over to the one side, as you were saying the Pledge of Allegiance, you would be facing a direction. And over to the right was light windows, and over to the left was dark. And to this day, 55 years later, I still think of left and right in that kindergarten room, just as a reference point. If I ever get confused, which is left and which is right.
So, oh, how funny.
But like I say, one broke for the door and one broke for the toys.
That's a great story. Thank you, Kevin. Judith Sears Prasan was like you, Kevin. She was so eager to get to school. She just ran away from her parents and ran right in and said, all right, here, where do I start? Oh, man. Connie in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi.
Hi. What? Thanks for having me on.
You bet. What's on your mind?
I'm just driving back to St. Paul, dropped my daughter off at UW-Madison. And when her younger brother was in second grade, and I think this could apply to kids in kindergarten too, he was in a special after-school program, and I was carpooling with another mother to pick our kids up after the program. And I just knew that one of the days something would mess up and we would forget to pick up the kids. So I prepared my son ahead of time. I said, one day you're going to be standing there and you're going to be the last kid, and me or the other mother are not going to be there to pick you up. And when that happens, you just go tell your teacher to take you to the office and say that you need to call your mother. Well, the very first day, the other mother picked her kid up from school because she got a call that her child was sick. Totally forgot about the after-school thing.
Oh.
My son was the last kid. He went into the office. He called me up, and he said, Mom, it worked out just doing just what you told me to. And he didn't feel neglected. He just felt like his mother really prepared him.
Wow. What a great mom you are, Connie.
No, it's because I would forget my children every once in a while, so I was ready.
But you turned something that could have potentially been really negative to something that was positive. That's pretty good.
Exactly. And he felt really, actually very proud of himself and wasn't nervous that he was the last kid, and he really knew what to do. So my habitual screw-ups, I think, made my kids kind of self-confident.
Thank you so much. That's a great story. And a little bit of advice for mm-hmm. those who have to pick their children up or you know, if you're doing a little carpooling.
Or if your child goes on the bus, what happens if you don't make it home by the time the bus drops the child off? Or if the child walks home, what do you do if the house is empty? You might want to have a designated neighbor that kids can go to, just a backup plan so that everybody's covered.
That is very good advice. Gregory in Santa Monica, California. Hi, Greg.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
What a fabulous program. It's nice to hear that Midwesterners have the same types of mothers who often forget their kids at school. But I hope my mother in Connecticut was listening. She's a grandmother now. I think preparing your kids with contingency plans is brilliant parenting. It's brilliant living. My brother and I were often left and just waited for mom to be the last car to pull around the corner. My comment was prompted more from a woman who talked about asking her kids to show them what they did at school instead of what did you do at school. And I know this sounds a little odd, but maybe think more like how Perry Mason would ask the witness to describe the teacher, describe the classroom. Maybe make your kid be more, if the child can do this, describe what it was like. Where did they put their backpack? And what color were some of the other backpacks in the classroom, to prompt some type of an interaction? Because for some reason, the mind doesn't respond well to the what question. It's almost like a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure your child's brilliant, but that's really normal. I think that's one of the key things, is thinking about helping kids describe their own experiences. We ask kids questions like we would adults, and that's not giving them enough tools to help you. So one thing that I would also suggest is that you know a little bit about your child's school schedule. That probably changes day to day. And if you know that on Tuesday they have art, you could ask them, you know, tell me about what you did in art today, or what are you looking forward to do in art? If you know that they have recess right after lunch, talk about what kind of things they did, so that you can actually provide them more, you know, kind of more tools to help you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah,
great program. Thank you so much, both of you.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. And Jessica in Monona, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I have just sort of, it's a comment and a question combined. I have my 5-year-old daughter is entering kindergarten this fall. And I also have a son who's entering third grade this year, and he had a rather rough transition into kindergarten. And I recently heard someone say that it's not about controlling your child, it's about controlling your child. And I think that when my son, Eli, entered kindergarten, I wasn't doing a very good job controlling my child. So his scared response and his sort of difficulty really was hard on me, and I think that that reflected to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering about thoughts about that, or ways to sort of, you know, be completely available emotionally speaking, but also not to over empathize to the extent that it makes it more difficult.
Well, I
think separation.
Now that I have a 16 and a 20-year-old, I've completely given up the idea of controlling my children.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that might be a metaphor that's asking for disappointment. I think supporting your child so that you can understand what their needs are and what your actions could be to support those needs, and recognizing that there are going to be things. This is the key place where the lack of control really starts getting in the, you know, right in your face, because your child is going to have his reactions that sometimes there's not a lot you can do about it. And it's not a reflection of you as a parent.
No.
It's a reflection of his or her needs right here, right now. So you've just got to do the best you can do in helping them make that transition, and don't take it personally.
that's why it really spoke to me, that whole, you can't control your child, which I've become aware of, but like controlling your own inner response to things, you know,
exactly.
Is what is our work as parents, and not, and like you say, trying to assess what they need now and then control that little emotional person inside of each of us that wants to, I don't know, swoop in and rescue them or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I think also it's very rarely the case that anything that you do will be a terminal mistake. Kids are pretty resilient. And if you do your very best to be there in the moment and not make it about you, Most kids succeed.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. I appreciate the show, too. It's obviously very timely.
Thanks, Jessica. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that call very much. So how do you recommend we check in with kids on these first days and weeks? Or should we be to find out how things are going?
Well, one of the things to be really ready for is that kids are going to be dead tired. Even if they've been in childcare full time, there's something about the school setting that puts different demands on kids. So they're going to be pooped, which means that for most children, they're going to be more fragile behaviorally. So they're probably going to be a pain in the neck part of the time. So I think you have to constantly work a tension between asking great questions so they can tell you things, and not being the commandant general who's interrogating them. So I would say listen as much as you ask. Do things like listen to your child telling his siblings what the day's like. You can find things out there. Pay attention to the kind of materials that the school sends home about what the day has been like, either for your child alone or the general program.
Those are all good points. Yeah, all really good points. Lynn in Coloma, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I taught fifth grade, and my girlfriend taught third grade. We decided to become lunch moms to make an extra $7 an hour.
So was that worth it?
Well, I don't know. Well, our thinking was that because we would then know more kids on the playground, and then we would, you know, be able to respond better on the playground because we didn't know the little guys. So here's the first day of school, and in our school, generally, the first grade teachers were all lovely young gals, you know, very cute, very pretty. And they march in their children, and they set them down at the lunchroom tables in first grade, and they leave. And they all started crying. And they all, it was like, and one kid had a quart bottle of milk and spilled it all over the other kids. And they were all in tears, and we went back, and we said, you know what, first grade, you guys, they don't get it. They think they just left their mom, and now their teacher just left, and they're left with us, who they don't know. You guys have to come back and eat lunch with them for, like, at least a week.
Mm-hmm.
So what it worked out to be was that then in kindergarten, they would come into the lunchroom and eat lunch like a first grader from kindergarten, so they knew what it was like to eat lunch. But that was like one of the most traumatic things I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That was worse than fifth graders throwing food at each other.
Yeah.
Well, I think we don't understand how complex lunch is to little kids. If they bring their lunch, there are things to open, and then there are things that remind you of home.
And that's what we were there to do, was like open things, and we had our little scissors, and we would cut the mustard packets and, you know, help them through the lunch line and all that. But, I mean, a lot of them just lost it. It's like,
right.
Where's my teacher?
Mm-hmm.
They just bonded with her and like, where did she go?
Yeah, I think another strategy is to have older elementary buddies. So if you've got fifth graders in the school, have a fifth grader buddy with each individual little one.
You know, and evidently, we went to that because it used to be first, second, and third ate lunch together,
mm-hmm.
and then fourth and fifth ate lunch together,
mm-hmm.
and then we integrated it, and it worked out much better.
Yeah.
Because then you can always have a table that's mixed, and then the fifth graders that want to sit with the kindergarten buddy that was our kindergarten buddy last year or whatever, you know, in fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
It was mixed, and that worked out much better, and the behavior problems became less.
Well, I think it kind of dilutes the behavior problems and the neediness of the little ones because you've got support from the slightly older kids.
Yeah, and we did that. We did the same thing on the playground, where when we had to do playground duty as fifth grade teachers over on the kindergarten through third grade playground,
mm-hmm.
we would have buddies that decided they wanted to go play with the little guys, and so we'd have maybe 15, 16, you know, out of 100, but they really wanted to do that, and they really wanted to be with the little guys on the playground, and that was very helpful, too.
Yeah. Sounds wonderful.
Sounds like a great school.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Appreciate the call. Claire in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. I have sort of a nightmare story that I've blocked out of my memory until this moment. Taking both of my kids to their first day of school, my son had been in a part-time preschool, but it was his first day of full-day K-5 at a private school. And my daughter was starting special ed K-3 at a different school. And I don't even remember what happened in the morning, but we were running late, which is kind of the story of my life anyway. But
yeah.
So I was speeding to get my son to school on time. The school is really only about 5 minutes from my house, but I was going pretty fast, and I got pulled over and right in front of the school. And the officer came up, and I said, "It's my son's first day of school. Can I bring him, please?" And he said, "Where is it?" "It's right here." So he let me get out of the car. I couldn't pull into the parking lot. I had all of his supplies. So I had like 3 bags and 2 kids, and my daughter can't run. So I'm carrying 2 bags. He's got his backpack. I'm carrying my 3-year-old daughter, running like halfway around the building to get into the school. And we walk in, and everyone's sitting down, and the teacher's starting her intro to the class and everything. And there I bring my kid to his first day of a real school. And he's late. He's like 5 minutes late. And I just look at the teacher, and I'm like, "I'm so sorry." And then I talked to her afterwards, and I said, "I'm sorry. It's really not going to happen ever again." Of course it did. But after that, I came back to my van. The officer gave me a warning because he felt so bad for me. He made me run into school. And, so I got a warning, and then I took my daughter to her school and dropped her off for her first day of any kind of school at all. And I was just an emotional wreck, and I stopped by my sister's house on my way home when I had no kids all of a sudden. And I walk into her house, and there are her 3 children homeschooled, and it's just so pleasant. She has music playing, and they're all, you know, calm, happy family. And I looked around, and I thought, I want this. I want to homeschool. So now I homeschool.
Uh-huh. Oh, you do. Well, good.
That's
for
not
you.
The reason why, but.
Well, Claire, that's quite a story. That's quite a first day story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Sure.
So you've survived.
I
obviously
did, and so did he.
Oh, man. You probably heard a lot of them, Beth.
Oh, and I was a kindergarten teacher for several years, so I can probably guarantee you that you're not the only person who ever brought their child late on the first day of school. But I know how frustrating that can be, because people want to start on the right foot. Good thing that you had a sympathetic police officer, and a kind kindergarten teacher, and patient children. So it all worked out well.
We have a great story from Kathy, who went to kindergarten class. They went to the library, and everybody got a library card. And she says, "The first time I checked out a book at the library, I didn't realize I was supposed to return the book to the book return slot. Instead, I reshelved it myself. The librarian, of course, thought it was overdue and called my mother. I said I'd returned it. My mom and the librarian believed me only after I showed her where I had reshelved it."
Now, are you a librarian now?
Oh, that's a great story. Bert in Verona, hi.
Yeah, there are two real quick ones. One, I had a friend, they just moved to the second house from the school. There was a big apartment building in between. Mom took him to school, said, "Okay, walk back home when you're done." He got to the corner. He couldn't see the house because it was hidden behind the apartment building, and spent an hour crying on the corner waiting there because he was totally lost. The other one was, this is a couple of years ago in a big box store here for, you know, office supplies. And there's a little girl, and she's got her backpack on. She's getting ready to go to the first day of school, and the backpack is almost bigger than she is, and it's full of school supplies, and she's as proud as a peacock, and she's walking out the door. She kind of comes to a stop and just about to start staggering backwards under the weight of that backpack. It was just an amazing sight. That sight of the backpack, gigantic on that little girl, is staggering under the weight of the thing. How this can be.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely, Bert. Thank you. Well, there's a follow. Is it more important than ever to have kids on a really regular schedule in the evening and mornings when they start kindergarten, or you know beforehand? Does that get some structure going?
I think starting a week or two before to start inching that bedtime back a little bit every day, so that they'll start being ready to go to bed a little bit early, and also getting them up earlier and having them, you know, have some kind of structure as they leave the house is a great idea, because it's a shock to the system when children are excited about going to school and can't go to sleep and aren't used to going to sleep very early, and then having to get up and go right away. So I think that's a great idea.
And Sonnet in Lake Geneva, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi. Well, mine's a little bit different. I was a high school teacher all my career, and I tried to think before the school year, get it clearly in my thought, that the joy and expectations that a little child had about what school would be, I wanted to keep that for my students, whether they were freshmen or seniors, and try to fill their expectations of what the high hopes that they had for school.
Oh, that's a wonderful
thought. That's wonderful. Well, and I think people are often surprised. I still run a lot of college classes like a kindergarten with activities, and it's intellectually stimulating, but I want people to be fully engaged and excited about learning. And this is one of the ways to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can enlist, or how do you enlist? Is it a good idea to enlist the siblings, the older ones?
I think it's a great idea, because it helps the older kids feel more competent and experienced. And it also gives the younger ones kind of a touchstone that isn't necessarily mom or dad. So as long as you don't overburden the older sibs, I think giving them kind of a place to check in with their little one is a great idea.
Well, this was a joy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really, really had a great time, and I learned a little bit. And what should we say? Good luck to all those parents out there.
Good luck and enjoy it. This is a fabulous, exciting time. And just eat it up, because it's delicious.
Beth Grau, Sorensen Professor of Curriculum and Instruction in the School of Education at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, our guest. She's also Associate Director of Faculty, Staff, and Graduate Student Development at the Wisconsin Center for Educational Research. Actually, would love to have talked to her about that sometime, of that research and what they all do. So maybe Beth, you come back and we'll do that.
I'd love that. Sooner than 23 years.
Yes. That was the last time she was on, 23 years ago. My goodness. You can't wait that long. I probably won't be here.
No, me neither.
All right. Beth Grau, our guest. Coming up, we're going to talk with our weather guys. It's always an exciting time when our weather guys come by, and they are up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.